An animal always knows what you want. An animal always knows what you want. No matter what you expect out of an animal, he always knows what you want. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. An animal always knows what you want. How does an animal always know what you want? How does an animal always know exactly what you expect of him, no matter what it is you want? Now, you think the animal may be not cooperative, not knowing what you want, not following your ideals and your desires, and then you stop and think, why do you think that an animal does not follow your desires? Why does an animal not do exactly like you want him to do? And you then go on, why does a child do what you want him to do or not do what you want him to do? Why does another person do what you want them to do or not do what you want them to do? And why do I do what I want me to do or not what me to do? Now, that's running the full circle, isn't it? Why is it that my presumed desires are not always carried out 100% or even at all? Why is it that my presumed desires are not fulfilled in my life all of the time? And the answer is that my presumed desires are very unstable. They're very insecure. They're not responsible desires. A responsible desire is a desire that you know is already done, and you are revealing it by every thought you think, every action you do, and every expectation of your heart. A desire that is fulfilled, a desire that is really a desire that's important to you, is something that you know is already done. You can visualize it being done. When you call your dog and you say, Rex, come here, do you visualize Rex coming to you? Do you visualize him walking over to you? Do you visualize him sitting at your side? Do you visualize him eagerly desiring to do whatever it is you have for him to do? Do you do that? And the answer is no. Why don't you do that? Because you do not believe that you have the authority to speak your word and have it be brought forth in your life. When we don't have the authority inside of us, when we don't have the confidence, the belief that our word is important, that whatever we are speaking our word for, whatever we desire in our life is important, when we do not have the confidence that that is important, then, of course, it's not done. Now, sometimes dogs will come to you on their own, and they'll just come up to you because you are such a loving, gentle, kind, beautiful person. And other times, dogs will not come up to you even though you are saying to them, here, have a cookie, have this, have that. You want to get them to come to you, but they know you don't really mean it. They know that you would just as soon if they didn't come. Or if you were demanding and you were trying to be an authoritative voice that says you must come, then they sometimes wonder, now, from where does he get his authority? Does he get his authority from the feeling that I love to do things with him? Or does he get the authority from the idea that if I don't come, he will come and grab me and pull me by my collar and demand that I come to his presence? Now, what authority is the person using? What authority is the person using who is talking to a dog, who is talking to life, who is talking to anything? What authority do we have over the desires of our heart Do we have the authority over the desires of our heart because we speak our word, or because we wish they were so, or because we think that'd be a nice thing to do, or whatever the million of possibilities might be? A dog comes to us. A dog hears us. A dog listens to us when we listen to ourselves. An animal always knows what you want, because an animal has no other attitudes about itself than the immediate now attitude of what's going on in the world right now. If a man has trained his dog to walk by his side in the busiest traffic or anywhere in the open field, or whether he's walking amongst many other animals that might be trying to get the attention of his animal, if a man has trained him, then that animal will respond in just that way. That animal will not run off and chase after other animals or with other animals as they might in play, but he will stay by his master's side. Now, the most telling word here is the word "by his master's side." His master has taken control of the circumstances. His master has trained the dog to come when he is called, to be by his side when he is chosen. The master has trained the dog to do this. Now, the dog can be trained, and the dog is trained. And when we train the dog will do what we ask him to do. And when we train a dog will know what we think. The dog will know when we think come, he will come. When he thinks that we think sit, he will sit. The dog is very responsive. When you walk along a path and you think, come, walk with me now. Walk with me, baby. And the next instant, the dog is walking by your side. This is a matter of training yourself. Training yourself to be aware that whatever thought you put in motion for your dog, it is done. And when you train yourself, and you train yourself, and you train yourself by outward training, by inward training, by training, it will be so. Now, you take a person like Caesar, who is the dog whisperer, and he comes into a room of dogs, and he has a dog that he wants to give his attention to because it is a dog that he's coming to visit. And he thinks his thought about that dog. The first thing he does, he surrounds that dog with his unconditional love. No matter how naughty the dog may have been, no matter how uncooperative the dog may have been, he does not see that. He surrounds the dog with his unconditional love. He knows that he and the dog are friends. And the dog knows it too right away. The dog knows that Caesar and he are friends, and the dog cooperates with him. The dog is submissive to him. And Caesar is able to have the dog do whatever he wants the dog to do. You and I have dogs, we have cats, we have all sorts of pets of many varieties. We have pets we call our children, we call our spouses. We have pets we call our co-workers in the office, our co-workers on any job that we may have. We have pets that we call pets? How have you trained your wife or your husband to think about you? Have you trained them to think about you that you are an unconditionally loving person? Have you trained them to think about you that you are a cooperative, gentle, sensitive, caring person? Have you trained them to think about you, that you are a generous, outgoing, giving, fantastic, unconditionally loving person? This takes training. It can be done in an instant if this is your nature. But if it's not your nature and it's something that you are working on and you are working on in your world, then you will find that the people in your world will respond to you according to your nature. Now, if you're the master of a dog and you say to a dog, come, and you have trained that dog to come, you know that dog is going to come. You know that dog is going to be cooperative. You know that dog is going to do whatever your bidding is for him. And you know he will do it lovingly. He will not do it out of being beaten. He will not do it out of giving him treats. He will not do it out of any other person's purpose except that he loves you. I always remember how Gregor Mueller would come, and he would come into the house. And the moment he came in the house, he would roll on the floor and be down with the pets. And the pets would just come over to him and love him to pieces, because they would feel so camaraderie, so one with him, so happy with his presence, so delighted to be around him. And they would just want him to tickle them and want him to love them, and they would love him. Now, yes, Gregor had something special, because he loved the pets. He loved the animals. He loved all of them with a gentleness and a lovingness that they instantly responded to. Now, he was a master of that. He was a master of that because he believed in himself. He believed that he could say that to the pets. He could be that for the dogs and cats, and he could do that with all the animals. And he did just that. Can all of us learn how to be such a master as Gregor is with the animals? Yes, we can. Can we all learn to be such a master as Caesar is with the dog whisperer, as the pets that he goes and visits and works with? Yes, we can. When Caesar works with a pet, he first proclaims that he is the master. He is the one who is speaking to the pet. The pet knows who's the boss. He knows who is the alpha. And because he knows that, there is an instant bonding and cooperation. You and I, when we talk to our pets, if we have an instant bonding, an instant mastership, we know who we are and they know who they are. The pets do not have a mind of their own. The pets have our mind. The pets cooperate with us. The pets are doing everything we want them to do because we know what we would like to have them do. And we do not ask them to do what might be called irrational things. Oh, at times we play games and that appears irrational, but it's a playtime. It's a game time. And it's a fun time. And it's not anything terribly important, but it's a wonderful response, because when the dog does the jig or the standing or the whatever we ask him to do, and he does it lovingly, he knows that we love him all the more. We respond to him all the more. We pet him all the more. And in that same light, an animal always understands what we want of them. An animal always knows what we want. The big question now comes, what do we want? What do we want from our animals? What do we want from our pets? What do we want from our relationships in life? What do we want from life itself? Do we want to let life itself walk over us, so to speak? And do we want to have the experiences in life be an unhappy experience? Or do we want all the experiences in life to be meaningful experiences where we are the master? You say, well, being the master is kind of overlord, kind of overwhelming, and it's not necessarily a loving thing to do. Oh, it is a very loving thing. You see, when I am master of myself, everyone can depend on me and know what I am going to do. When I am master of my thoughts, of my words, of my deeds, of my actions, of where I am, everyone knows exactly what to depend on me. Every animal knows what to expect when they're in my presence. I instantly take control and I instantly say, enough, or come, or sit, or stay. And with whatever authority I speak, that is how the animal responds to me. That's how my relationships are. Whatever authority I have in me, if I am in charge of my life and I walk into any circumstance, that circumstance is going to be under my direction because I am in charge of my life. If I'm not in charge of my life, I will run frightfully away from circumstances because I am not in control. I will be very unhappy with things because I am not the master of them. And I can be the master of them. And I am truly always the master of them. I am the master of them by letting them master me, or by my mastering myself relative to them. A dog always hears what you're saying to him. An animal always knows what you want. An animal always knows what you want because an animal reads you like a book. An animal knows when he can walk with you. My dogs walk with me along the mountain paths where we live here in the high desert. And when a coyote comes along, my dogs know that the coyote will not ever bother us because we are walking with a master, and that's me. I say, go to the coyote, and away he goes. I say, go to the rattlesnake, and the rattlesnake goes away. Now you say, well, rattlesnakes can't hear, and they can't do this here, and coyotes aren't afraid of people. No. But they hear the command quietly or spoken aloud, however it's spoken, and they respond to it because that is my choice. Is that your choice? Is that your way of doing things? Are you the master? Now, you don't put yourself in harm's way by going in against something where you might be frightened, where you might be insecure or unstable in anything you're doing. You don't put yourself in harm's way. You surround yourself, as I always do, with my pure white light of love. And after I surround myself with my pure white light of love, knowing that I am doing all things that are beautiful and good, then I surround my pet with my pure white light of love. And I see him surrounded by that pure white light of love, doing all things as I want him to do. All things as I am the master of whatever he does. And then he does it. And then I surround my world with my pure white light of love, going out to all of the other creatures in my world and all the other people in my world. And wherever I go, all is in the pure white light of love. And goodness comes because all is in the pure white light of love. Sometimes we enter into people's den, into people's lives, and we are a threat to them. We are a threat to their stability because they live a life where they are living in a circumstance of fear and unhappiness and limitation. And we come in with our abundant awareness and they feel unstable. And they don't want to be around us. And we say, well, let's surround them with our pure white light of love and let's give them all of our unconditional love and let's be wonderful in their world. And the answer to you must be, do you want them in your world? Do you want that dog in your world to have you be its master? If you want the dog in your world to be its master, you can never think the dog has a mind of its own and is going to go and do things contrary to what you want. If you have people who are going to be in your world and you think they want to do things contrary to what you think is good, then you really don't want them in your world. You really don't want the dog in your world who is not going to be cooperative. You really don't want anything in your world which is not surrounded by your pure white light of love and under your direction 100%. And your direction is your highest and best. Your direction is being yourself and having fun, doing what is your highest and best at all times. And if you do that, the animals will always understand you. Your pet will always understand you. Your relationships will always understand you. But most of all, you will understand yourself. And as you understand yourself, you will find that everything you do is good and beautiful. Everything you do is wonderful and uplifting. Everything you do is ideal. Yes, animals understand us very well. Other human beings understand us very well. Now the big question comes back to us, do we understand ourselves very well? Can we, in the most frightful experience, say all is in divine order? Can we, in the most terrifying circumstances, say, I am balance, all is in divine order, all is peace? Can we look at our pet and think a thought and have that thought be manifest in the action of the pet? Yes, it happens all the time. What's next? What's next? We live our life so beautifully, so wonderfully, so happily. Oh, experiences will come up to shake our boat. Experiences will come up to test us to see whether we really stand firm with unconditional love. And if in those tests we stand firm in unconditional love with no vituperation, with no anger, with no frustration, then we are the master. Then the world will listen to us, and we merely tune in the stations that are harmonious with our way of life. Join me today by tuning in the station where you are harmonious with life, and listen to how wonderful life is. Listen to how wonderful the melody of your heart is when it's played from your soul and your being. You are the master. You are the joy of the world. You are the purity, the light, the love, and all. And truly, that's all that matters, because that's who you are right now, and that's who I am right now. Know that I love you. I love you. I love you. And know, too, that I like you. I like you. I like you. Take this into your world, into your life, and spread it around like the peanut butter on your bread that everyone loves so much. And say, all is in divine order. All is good and very good, and life is truly wonderful. Have a lovely day, and know that I am always with you in every lovely way.